It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. The politics and the pop culture are in sad, sad disarray, my friends. But let me back up, and let me back up with an appropriate word for backing up: time. I love stories about time travel. As you know, I write novels about time travel. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to go back through time to Germany right before Hitler took over, but when the Nazi movement was beginning, and warn people ahead of time? Well, my friends, you don't need a time machine for that. Just watch the news. And while most news outlets won't show you a whole lot of truth, or any truth in some cases, while you may need to go to Fox or other conservative outlets, you can still find all of this stuff. It can be researched. It can be authenticated. And by the way, while we're on the subject of Fox, because I hate it when conversations immediately get torpedoed because Fox News was brought up because some student heard their professor say something against Fox News and they took the person at face value. Unless you have done your own research and verified, unless you have studied the many, many, many news stories that the mainstream media got wrong and Fox got right, if you're only repeating what you've heard from friends, I don't want to hear about it. Right now, as I predicted, and it was an extremely easy prediction, one that anybody could have made, the Israeli war against Gaza is being portrayed as that of a conquering, murdering nation. People are forgetting that this war started because the people of Gaza elected Hamas into power a number of years ago. Hamas, which does not recognize Israel's right to exist. It's a terrorist organization. There were atrocities on October 7th, which would have made even Emperor Nero blush. Babies' heads severed. Parents murdered in front of their children. Children murdered in front of their parents. Women raped. And then the rape was sent out on their iPhones to their Facebook pages so that people could watch the rape in a live stream. Now, many deny this. They call it Jewish propaganda, another phrase that the Nazis used before the Holocaust, Jewish propaganda. They jump on the Palestinian bandwagon because our colleges are producing ignorant, arrogant idiots. Well, maybe I shouldn't have used the word idiot. How about morons? Complete, total morons with pea-sized brains, or at least brains that they're not using. But let me tell you who doesn't deny what's going on. Hamas. They brag about this. They revel in this. And frankly, many of the anti-Israeli protesters now are admitting the atrocities and justifying the atrocities. Protests are not only going on college campuses, they're going on in places like New York City, where they closed down the Brooklyn Bridge because so many were out there yelling and screaming against Israel. One of the signs in these protests says, "Long live the Infatada." Infatada is a glorification of terrorist attacks. A sign at the New York City protest says, "Any means necessary." That means that whatever atrocities were done against the Jews, many of which I just listed, well, by whatever means necessary to get them out of this land which they've occupied. Of course, that's a lie. You need to see other podcasts. You need to see my book, The Holocaust Against Israel. I'm not going to get into that right now. It's a downright lie. But whether it was a lie or whether it was the truth, they're saying any means necessary. So that includes the babies' heads being severed, the women being raped. Get that? That's what they're talking about. Any means necessary to get Israel out of the Middle East. We're seeing swastikas. We're seeing chants for Israel to be wiped off the map. We're seeing calls for Jews to be annihilated. We're seeing this stuff even at universities like Cornell and our prestigious Ivy League universities. Here's something that's been posted at universities, and I'm reading it. I'm quoting it. Rape and kill all the Jewish women before they birth more Jewish Hitlers. Jews are excrement on the face of the earth. No Jewish civilian is innocent of genocide. Are you catching this, my friends? They compare people to Hitler. Well, there's always a comparison to Hitler these days because despite all the rampant moral relativism, people still, at the moment, remember that the Nazis are evil. And then in the same breath, they say the exact same things about the Jews that the Nazis did and call for the exact same Holocaust that the Nazis did. They call for the deliberate death of every Jewish civilian while warning that the Jews should not retaliate in Gaza because it might kill innocent Palestinian civilians. Here's another quote. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Glory to Hamas by any means necessary. There's that phrase again. Here's one. If you see a Jewish person on campus, follow them home and slit their throats. Rats need to be eliminated. That was posted at Cornell University. Now, I do have an idea, and you've already thought of the obvious ideas. Prayer, obviously, that's the most important thing. But if you're looking for something we can actually do, the next time we have a great big riot in New York City, I know that even some of the people hearing about these atrocities are justifying them, but I doubt how many of them are actually watching it. It's so easy for people to walk in lockstep and say the things their friends and peers and professors are expecting them to say. Next time we're having one of these in New York City, how about on that great big screen over Times Square, we start posting some of these atrocities right while they're shouting death to Israel and glory to Hamas. Watch one of these Jewish women being raped right on top of this huge screen at Times Square. Just maybe that'll cause a few people to stop and think. This is Bob Siegel, making the horribly obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Run, run, Rudolph! Santa thinks we'll make it in town. Santa, make him hurry, tell him he can take the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph! Reeling like a merry-go-round.
Despite the unpleasant news, we do welcome in the Christmas season. As is our tradition, we start our bumper music and play it the entire month of November. And if you've been educated to learn that hearing Christmas music violates your civil liberties and violates separation between church and state, you've heard wrong. It's just music, for crying out loud. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Well, Bob, you just set the table there tonight. And by the way, I love Christmas music, and I think every year I compliment you and thank you for playing Christmas music during this season. I can't get enough of it. And the intro there tonight about Israel and the atrocities going on is very relevant to something I want to get to in a little bit. But I just wanted to start off, if I can now, on a little lighter note with a sports update, if you will, because I know you're not as big a sports fan as Brandon and I.
I'm not, but I shouldn't have to make my audience suffer, because I'm sure the high majority of them are sports fans.
Well, let me just tell you, congratulations to the Texas Rangers and former Padres manager Bruce Bochy, who won the World Series for the first time in their franchise history. It was also the least watched World Series in recorded history. Of course, ratings have been in decline for 8 years, but it didn't help that the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks don't have the drawing power of teams that are from media centers like New York and Los Angeles. It's kind of like a national election, except the outcome is determined by the quality and performance of those competing, not ballot stuffing.
You suppose breaking from the Padres is what he had to do to be more successful?
Well, yeah, actually, I posted a quote when they were headed to the World Series. He was the manager of the Padres, and they gave San Francisco Giants permission to interview him. And in the interview, he said, "The Giants were interested in the same thing I was interested in, which is winning a championship," which the inference there is that the Padres were not interested in winning a championship. So he went to San Francisco, won the World Series 3 times there, took a couple of years off, and then the Texas Rangers persuaded him to come out of retirement. And his first year there, he wins the World Series with this team that was nobody was expecting. So it was quite a thing.
Two years ago, the Texas Rangers had the worst record in MLB history, or one of the worst records that year. So just the turnaround this guy can do, it just goes to show you old school is the better school, apparently, in baseball.
Yeah, so. And I've always loved Bochy. Even though he left San Diego, I can't blame him. Now, speaking of the Padres, who are one of now only 5 teams left that have never won the World Series, the Padres just took out a $50 million loan to cover their payroll, which was the third largest payroll in Major League. The two larger ones were the two New York teams. Just under $249 million for 1 year. That was their payroll for their players. I'm going to run a few numbers by you. Xander Bogaerts, $25.5 million. Yu Darvish, $25 million. Juan Soto, $23 million. Joe Musgrove, $20 million. Manny Machado, $17 million. Blake Snell, $16.5 million. This is per year. And Fernando Tatis only got $7.5 million because he was serving out a sentence for using prohibited substances. He took drugs he shouldn't have taken.
Only $17.5 million the poor guy was paid? My heart just bleeds for him.
No, well, only $7.5 million, but normally $21 million.
Well.
He would normally get.
I guess if he really
million.
Tightened his money belt, he could live off $7.5 million. He might just be able to stretch that.
I guess. So they lost money despite the fact that they had the second highest attendance in the major leagues, with over 3 million people attending games at an average ticket price of $34. That's over $100 million. That doesn't include TV revenues. And yet they had to take out a loan. Now, they barely broke 500. They had a record of 82-80. So the moral of the story is the Padres are kind of like an organization in Washington, D.C. They're overpaid and underachieving. I don't know.
And there's rumors that we're looking to trade Juan Soto for Anthony Rizzo. So we'll save $3 million. So, hey, that's going to be at least pocket change, at least for help.
The truth is they need to unload several of those big salaries. It probably will. But San Diego fans can once again sing our anthem, "Wait Till Next Year." Okay, now what? This is going to be the most graceful segue that you can imagine. During the World Series, they ran an ad campaign urging viewers to stand up against Jewish hate, which sounded really confusing, but the phrase was about hatred of Jews. It was paid for by New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who is Jewish. And it pointed out...
Okay, so this was hatred against, stand up against hatred against Jews. They weren't accusing the Jews of being hateful.
Right, but the wording, I had friends that said, that, you know, that sounds confusing. That sounds like they're talking about Jews who hate. But the point of it was hatred of the Jews. And it's clarified in the public service announcement or the commercial. It pointed out that hatred of Jews is up 388%. Since the Hamas attacks, Jewish people make up 2.4% of the U.S. population, but are targets of over 60% of hate crimes linked to religion. So I was kind of surprised when I first saw that thing, but I was proud of Robert Kraft. You know, and he gives money to all different kinds of charities and denominations, but he is Jewish. So he felt it was time for somebody to stand up and make a statement. Now, you opened the broadcast with a powerful introduction about this whole controversy. And I know you've covered it extensively, not only on this show, but in your podcast and in your book, The Holocaust Against Israel, which listeners out there, get that book if you haven't got it. Get The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel. And so I know you've talked about it a lot, whereas mainstream media and the liberals who rant about racism and hate crimes seem to ignore this oldest and most consistent racism in history, hatred of the Jews.
Well, part of that is because Jews are designated as white, and if you're white, you can't possibly be the victim of a hate crime. That's some of it. There are a lot of other mysteries associated with anti-Semitism, but that's at least part of the narrative.
Yeah. Well, that was Whoopi Goldberg's wisdom. The Holocaust wasn't hate, wasn't bigotry, because they weren't black. But Whoopi's a little bit, I don't know what
happened. She'd have had trouble explaining that to Sammy Davis Jr., because he was both black and Jewish.
Exactly. Well, I think Whoopi's hair braids are just a little too tight. I think that's probably the problem. So let's look at some of the history. I know you have great thoughts because you come from a Jewish background, and I think people need to know that when you talk about these things. You know what it's like. You understand this thing probably better than most. Now, all of this stuff about Palestine, who owns Palestine, the Palestinian nation, blah, 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 which, by the way, was never, there was no Palestinian nation.
There's never been a nation called Palestine, ever.
Yeah. Now, the word Palestine, the Greek word for Palestine, is from the Hebrew word Philistia, land of the Philistines.
Yes, and Emperor Hadrian changed the name of Judea to Syria Palestinia to rub the Jews' noses in the face of their enemies. So for 2,000 years, that did become the informal nickname of the Holy Land, but that's not the same as saying that there was this nation and this indigenous group of people called the Palestinians.
Yeah, and that's a great confusion. I hear people talk about...
Now, there are people that live in that land that call themselves Palestinians, but they were calling themselves Arabs in 1948 when Israel became a nation, and the word Palestinian did not become popular or their new title until it became a ploy by Yasser Arafat, and that takes us into the 1960s. It's as new as the 1960s.
Yeah, exactly. But the current generation doesn't always have a grasp of that history and those definitions. So now, Israel, the Jews as a people, have been at war, been enslaved, been occupied by numerous nations over the years. We've mentioned the Philistines. You know, remember the story of David and Goliath? He was a Philistine, and they were at war with Israel. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, remember Nebuchadnezzar? The Seleucid Empire, which was a leftover from Alexander the Great's reign, and that led to the Maccabean Revolt, which is covered in the apocryphal books.
The Apocrypha and the Talmud, the revolt against Antiochus Epiphanes, where the Hanukkah story comes from.
Yeah. By the way, you know, Mel Gibson wanted to do a movie about the Maccabees, the Maccabean Revolt, but it got waylaid. He took so much flack for doing the film about the Passion of the Christ, and so instead, he did one about some tribes in South America killing each other. So the Roman Empire occupied Israel. I always found it interesting when Jesus was talking in John chapter 8. He said, if you know the truth will set you free. It's a lot longer text there. And the Jews got mad. He said, we've never been slaves to anyone. Well, except for Egypt, Assyria, Babylon.
That sounds like something out of Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Yeah, and the Romans who were currently occupying them. So they've had this long, long history. And then, of course, Rome destroyed the temple in 70 AD, and the Jews were scattered at that point until 1948. And then there was a declaration of a nation of Israel, and another exodus began to take place, and they began returning to the
Yeah, they actually returned quite some time before then, because the League of Nations and the Balfour Declaration, and now we're going back to closer to the turn of the 20th century, invited them in.
Yeah.
But they were superseded by the United Nations. So there was a lot of history of the Jews returning to their promised land throughout the 20th century. But there had been a remnant that always remained there. Yes, after 70 AD, and then again even more in the beginning of the 2nd century when there was another revolt and we had Emperor Hadrian. A lot of Jews were enslaved and scattered and murdered, but there had always been a remnant that remained there. So this idea that the Jews have no historical claim to that land is just such utter garbage.
Yeah, and that's just leaving out the spiritual, biblical claim that God promised that land to them, which most people do not accept that, except for people that are hardcore believers.
But even if people don't accept that, we can still say that historically they lived in that land for thousands of years. You don't have to even believe in the Bible to accept that. It's a historical truth.
Well, but now what you're see, the problem, Bob, is you're saying that you accept history, and history is being rewritten every day. People just don't know history like you and I did when we grew up, went to school. They taught history, and you learned things, and there were things that were just documented and were fact. And now they've just thrown out so much. So there's a real problem with people being indoctrinated, re-educated.
Well, our schools can't even tell people what restroom to use anymore. Do we gonna trust them about history or any fact at all anymore?
Well, I think we're in the twilight zone. I think we're in a very troubling time in regards to people's grasp of reality, truth, absolute truth. We're well past the days of moral relativism. We're past the postmodern. We're the post-postmodern era now. So you can talk about history, you can state facts, but people will just shake their head and say, well, I don't agree with that. Don't confuse me with the facts.
And what they mean is they agree with what they've been indoctrinated with in school and through the media. When they say, I don't agree with that, I'm going to go, oh, so you all on your own came up with some reason to disagree with this? No, you're marching in lockstep with the talking points.
Yeah, which goes back to what you opened with. I used to wonder, how in the world did common German people, probably good people, how did they stand by and let that happen? And we're watching it in our own.
Some of them were too scared to say anything. Some of them were so stupid they believed it. A few brave ones spoke up and got killed. That's how it happens. Yeah. That's the recipe for a dictatorship.
Yeah, we're in perilous times, and don't think it couldn't happen again. Because this whole thing with Hamas and what's been stirred
up—it's happening again. It's happening again before our eyes.
Yeah, and that was the point of that public service ad that ran during the World Series. And I saw it today during football games. They're still showing the thing. It is a real issue, and in this country, you know, 388% is quite an increase in such a short period of time. So people are swayed. They are mesmerized by what they hear in the media and social media, but a lot of it is in the education system. I wasn't planning on saying this, but there's a point I've tried to illustrate, because I have friends that are really heavy into the education. I have a friend who's an atheist, and she was former dean, assistant dean at the University of Hawaii. And when I was in San Diego recently, had lunch with her and we talked. I said, you know, I think the problem is that when you and I went to school, we were taught how to learn and how to think. Now the system is teaching kids what they're supposed to believe. And it's dangerous. And here's an example. Now we're going to go back to another strong suit of mine, which is music. And I was up in Northern California. I worked in this place, and there was a kid who went to Humboldt State University. And he came in one day and he said, Rush is the greatest rock and roll band in history. I said, what? Rush is the greatest rock? It's a Canadian three-piece band. It's the greatest band in rock and roll history. I said, you know, there might be some people that were fans of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Beach Boys and U2 and some other groups that might differ with it. He said, no. My teacher's a music teacher, and he said that Rush is the greatest.
So that settles it right there. All right, Jim, hold with us. Hold with us over the break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, and also the show within a show. It's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
Well, 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 Jim, we meet again. How about that?
Yeah, okay. You've been trying to make it tough on me, man.
I had to do some obscure stuff. So this one is actually a more of a personal one for me. As you know, I am a first-time father, so I had to find a song that was especially special for my child. I'm going to go back to the year 1961 for you, and it's not a rock song.
Oh, my.
It's a traditional pop song, so it's going to be a very slow, I wouldn't say somber, but it's a very slow-paced kind of song compared to how we usually do on the show. So without any further ado, are you ready, Jim?
Well, we'll give it a whirl.
Okay, here we go.
It's something to see Mommy and Daddy trimming baby's Christmas tree. Baby's big brother is busy with his chores. He's shining up the chimney for Santa Claus.
Any guesses?
I think
this one was by Rush, Jim.
I know, right? the artist is Connie Francis, who was one of the very first women in history to get a number one hit off the Billboard Hot 100. Yeah. This is not one of them, unfortunately. Yeah. It only reached number 26 at the time, but it's called Baby's First Christmas, so... It's talking
baby's
about
first Christmas.
Yeah, it's talking about all the first memories this baby's going to have for its first Christmas.
Otherwise known as Jim Barrier's first defeat in a long time.
I know. Yeah. Well, to be fair, I kind of cheated, I feel like.
Well, we made it.
There you go. So I wanted to make a super quick comment based on what you guys just said before we head to the break. I had to take a couple of college courses in order to get my bachelor's degree in communications, and I definitely felt as if they were trying to push me to feel bad for being a male and then being a white male for that matter. One of those classes had to deal with how women were treated in Hollywood and how that treatment is still going on in today's society. And then the same thing goes with a lot of the other ethnicities as well. And it just felt as if I personally was being attacked in there a lot of the time.
Too bad you weren't there more recently. You could have just said, I identify as a female.
Oh, I should have done that. Dang it. Yes, of course. But I completely concur with you guys. Instead of just teaching the kids specific values or specific instructions and lessons plans, they're telling us how to think in today's society instead. And it's a shame to see the education system where it is to this day.
And I'm sure that my silly example about music, though it to me it was serious because this kid just bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Don't worry, I hate Rush too, so it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I can name the members of the band, which most people can, and I can name songs by the band. But anyway, I'm sure it happens in other courses, in other subjects, and throughout the system. And the obvious thing that we're seeing, making the obvious obvious, is that people somehow think that the Jews are responsible for the atrocities going on right now in the Middle East. It's mind-boggling that someone could think that. And I know people who blame the Jews, and they consider the Jews terrorists, or at least instigators. It just baffles me.
Meanwhile, guess what nation was just put in charge of the Human Rights Council of the United Nations? Iran. We need to take that United Nations building in New York City and turn it into a big public toilet. That is my opinion of the United Nations.
Well, way, way back, I was in agreement with the movement that said, get U.S. out of U.N. I never thought that it was a good idea. You know, it's funny, when the Twin Towers were destroyed by those two planes, they didn't fly any planes into the United Nations building, did they?
And what's interesting is after 9/11, where 3,000 Americans were murdered by terrorists, Islam suddenly became a politically correct religion. We just saw the reverse last month. After these atrocities against the Jews were blamed for the atrocities. Just the opposite of what happened with 9/11.
In that short period of time, it's not only mind-boggling, but it's frightening to me. I don't like to think about the indoctrination that my grandchildren are going to be forced to go through. And it's just a crazy time. And conspiracy theories aside, and also my friends who have last days mania, every time something happens, every blood moon, every bomb, it's the end of the world. This is the beginning of Armageddon. And you've talked about it. You know, there is tribulation that doesn't necessarily mean it's the great tribulation. So maybe Jesus will come back today, tonight, tomorrow. I don't know. But I think there may be yet some things to play out before the end of time as we know it. So crazy time. But I want to go back and touch on the thing, the gathering when Israel was officially made a nation in 1948. And as you pointed out, there were Jews there already, but many Jews started returning. A lot of them from Russia, in fact. Jews began going back to Israel. And part of the politic of all of that was in a response to World War II. Hitler's hatred of the Jews was front and center in that war. We refer to the Holocaust, which now some people deny ever took place.
And the same people that deny that the first Holocaust took place are calling for something just like that Holocaust right now. There's an irony for you.
That is really ironic. And I would advise anybody in the sound of my voice right now, the next time you have an opportunity to visit our nation's capital, please make reservations and go see the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. There are others around the world, but this one is in our country and you can get to it. I've been to it twice, and it's just extremely moving, extremely educational. And when you get to go do this, I'm encouraging everyone to go to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum while it still stands.
Yeah, before Biden tears it down and puts an Islamophobia museum instead.
It's there something. But if you go, leave yourself a good 45 minutes to an hour to just sit and weep, because that's what I did. They have a reflection, a little area where you can just sit and ponder what you've just walked through. And I just sat there and wept for 45 minutes.
Yeah, they have one in Israel also. That's the one that I visited.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's equally moving. So that was part of, it was a response to those things, I think, that motivated the nationalization or the founding of the official state of Israel, because they realized there had been such an atrocity. By the way, the film Bonhoeffer versus the Third Reich, starring our good friend Ryan Holiday.
Yes.
So he plays the part of Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yeah, we had him on the show a few weeks ago talking about that.
Yeah, and it's now available on Amazon. You can stream Amazon or watch it on there, and it'll be challenging. It's a serious subject. Bonhoeffer was a mysterious person to me. One of the earliest books I read as a Christian was called The Cost of Discipleship. And man, that guy, he lived through some tough stuff, but he had some radical ideas. And I have a big, thick book that's a biography on him, and he's a fascinating person. But check out the film if you get the chance. Now, here's a passage that I've been quoting recently since the Hamas attack. This is from the book of Zechariah, the prophet. And he says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for people. All that burden themselves with it shall be severely injured, and all the people of the earth will be gathered together against it." Now, I know that there are Old Testament applications and stuff, but I think that this is also a prophetic foretelling of events that will to come in that vein. And right now, someone posted a map. It's just outrageous. It shows that whole area of Egypt and North Africa and all around that, and the Muslim countries surrounding the little tiny dot of Israel. And they are surrounded.
And yet they're called the conquerors and they're called the colonizers. Yeah, okay, yeah. Hold with me, Jim, yeah, for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Not sure when to try an unusual novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
There's not a lot of joy in the world right now, but we'll still celebrate the joy that came to the world when Christ was born. Welcome in the Christmas season. Say hello again to Jim Barrier,
who is a big fan of Christmas and Christmas music and the Christmas story. And it isn't just a story, folks. It is real history, and it is world-changing history that the Son of God came to this earth. Now, we're talking about the Holocaust. We're talking about the hatred of Jews that is rampant right now in our culture and has been around for centuries. Who or what is behind this? Where does this come from? People groups have fought from the time there were separate people groups. You know, Cain killed Abel. And as soon as there were different cities and cultures and nations, they've been warring from the time of civilization's beginning. But this intense hatred of Jews, where does that come from? It can't be just political. It can't be just financial. You know, I read Mein Kampf when I was in high school. Isn't that crazy? And Hitler kind of details his history and how he came to this hatred of the Jews and blaming them for everything. But I think there's more to it than just sociological.
Well, there is a spiritual explanation in the Bible.
Absolutely. Paul says, our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. And I think that is really what's behind all of this. I think that Satan, and yes, I do believe there is a being called Satan, the devil, Beelzebub, whoever you want to call him, but there is an enemy who hates the authority of God and hates the people of God and the plan of God. And
hates the Jews specifically because through the Jews, Christ was born, and that's how Satan loses people's souls. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, one of the few places where Revelation actually defines its symbolism, the dragon is identified as Satan. And it says, the dragon, when he was cast to this world, persecuted the woman who bore the male child. The male child is Jesus. The woman who bore the male child is Israel. In that passage of Revelation, Satan hates the Jews because through the Jews we got Christ. That's taught in the Bible. What's reasonable speculation, although you won't find a verse to go along with this, I believe we can extrapolate from that he also hates the Jews because through the Jews we got the Bible as well, not just Christ, but the Bible where we learn about Christ.
And hatred does crazy things to a mind. You become obsessed, you become very twisted. I think you're spot on. I think what's behind this hatred is a spiritual entity. And of course, the scripture also says that the God of this age, who is Satan, has blinded the eyes and minds of the unbelievers. And so people, you say stuff like that to people, they laugh and go, oh, you believe in a devil? Yes, I do. And I believe that if you are not submitted to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are open to all kinds of influence. So that would be my best explanation.
Yeah, and if you're out there and you don't think that there's a Satan, he's just delighted that you feel that way. As far as he's concerned, you go right on feeling that way.
Yeah. So what should our response be? What are we to do? Aside from your idea about the Times Square, which I thought was...
Well, as I always say, if everybody would watch Support Your Local Sheriff with James Garner and Walter Brennan and Bruce Dern, the world would be a better place.
That's a classic. But what do we do? Now, I hear people say this all the time. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which I think that's a good prayer request. The problem is there hasn't been peace there since the get-go, at least in modern times in our history. But that line, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, is from Psalm 122. And it's during a time when Jerusalem was doing fine. And it was a prayer for the peace of Jerusalem, and if you will, for it to continue, for prosperity and peace within the walls.
Well, I know one very practical thing people can do. Alumni and patrons that are giving money to our universities should withdraw it. Parents, I don't know what you're paying to send your kids to these colleges these days, but you got to believe me, you are paying too much. They should just be defunded until they start having a real education once again.
That's a good point. I agree with that. Now, what about this? People say this all the time. Well, God will bless those who bless Israel. Now, I know you know where that comes from. God made a promise to Abraham. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. To Abraham, he said that specifically. And then he said, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So there was...
Well, there he's looking toward Christ, because one of Abraham's descendants would be Christ.
Yeah, exactly. And then Isaac said to Jacob, cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. So that blessing continued on from one generation to the next. And then there's a story, interesting story. The Spirit of God came upon Balaam, and he said to Israel, blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who curses you. So I say, yes, pray for Israel and bless Israel. I don't want to be on the wrong side of that equation.
Yeah, and it's simply another way of saying don't be against the plans of God. It's not that there's anything uniquely special about Jewish people as opposed to other people. God created everybody. God loves everybody. But you're working against his plan.
And that's the big picture that people need to get. And aside from it, and I had a friend that took me to task on that. He likes to correct everybody about everything. And he said, no, he says, Israel isn't God's people and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, you know, just leaving the biblical prophecies and promises and all of those things out, Israel's the only ally, the closest ally we have in that region. And they have been good allies to us. And just on a political, material, humanistic level, it would make sense for us to back her play.
And the countries that call for the annihilation of Israel also call for the annihilation of the United States. They call Israel the little Satan, and they call America the big Satan.
The great Satan, exactly. So I'll say this. I will pray for Israel, or pray for peace in Israel, and I will bless Israel, because Israel is still, hear me out, the apple of God's eye. Israel has not been replaced by the church or the United States of America. Israel is still in God's heart, and he still has plans. And if you read Romans 11, Paul says that Israel is going to repent and return to God. So that's a great promise. Israel is center stage for the closing events of human history. God is not done with Israel, and as long as he's not done with Israel, I'm not going to turn my back on her. And I shudder to think the politicians that are in power right now, the notion of abandoning Israel during all of this. Talk is cheap, by the way. If you keep giving money to Iran, who then supplies Hamas with weapons, you're not backing Israel.
Oh, and right now the Biden administration is talking about a special peace plan that's going to involve Iran. It's absolute insanity. It's like the old saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, Jim, it's always a pleasure to have you, and we'll look forward to having you on again next week.
Next week. All right, man.
All right. This is Bob Siegel. We'll see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.